I want to talk to you about oil shortages. You ever notice that the oil goes up and up as soon as there's a storm or anything that goes on? It doesn't take anything for the oil prices to go up. In fact, when Hurricane Gustav hit and then Hurricane Ike hit, I don't know if you know that some of the gas stations, even in Detroit, that, you notice how they just shoot right up to $5 a gallon? Or $4.80 or $4.60. It's like, what is going on? Is there really no oil, or is it just a problem getting that oil? Every storm that comes along, it seems like everything in our lives just kind of goes that way. The Bible talks about storms, and you know, it's interesting because down south, I don't know if you guys noticed on the news a few weeks ago, there was a storm after Gustav and Ike. There was a hurricane coming in, but it turned into just a rainstorm, and it went right up the eastern seaboard. The Carolinas, remember that? And they got some rain, but if you watched in the news, there were car lines at gas stations 2 miles long. Now, some of you remember some of that stuff back in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was president. Do you remember that? Some of you remember that? I'm the only one that remembers that. Some of you remember that. I remember being in California. My buddy had a moped, which got like 80 miles, 50, 70, I don't know, and it had pedals. And we just pull up there to get a gallon, and people would scream and yell because you could kind of zip in there because people have been in line for hours. And that happened. It was on the news. And for 3 to 4 weeks, these people would be in lines for hours, a couple miles long. They'd get up to the gas pump, and there'd be a plastic cover saying, "We're out of gas." And you saw them pushing their cars. Did you see that stuff? North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia. They just got wiped out. I thought, what's going on? We didn't. Our prices didn't go up. I'm thinking, what happened to them? Hurricane Ike and Hurricane Gustav, when it hit Texas, that affected South Carolina. Because they have all this oil that goes and gases go in pipelines underground. And they showed a picture. I'd never seen that. Maybe you'd seen this before. That was the first time. And it travels from Texas. That's how they get their sources to all these places, in these pipes. It goes 5 miles per hour. And that's how they... So when they shut everything down in Texas, it took weeks. I mean, 5 miles, you could walk 5 miles. You could have walked the gas to North Carolina. But there they were. People were shut down. People were pushing their cars. They couldn't go anywhere. And they were stranded. Man, it just seems like anything that happens, we're in trouble, isn't it? We have such a dependency on foreign oil. And what's amazing is about that is the church can be like that too. The church can have the same exact energy problem that we're facing in the United States. You notice that? You ever see Christians and they just can't wait to get to the gas station, to church, and they get there and nothing. They get there, it's empty. And you find Christians are out there pushing their vehicles, pushing their lives around, just like the world. And they're going along, and there seems to be no difference. And the question is, why? There's got to be an ample supply from God. God's got to have enough for every one of you. I didn't get it all because I came in this morning, walked through the doors at 8:30, was in first service. First service people didn't steal your oil. The problem is, we don't have an oil shortage. We have an attitude shortage. There's plenty of blessing to go around. We live in a country that is oil, that we're foreign dependent. We have a foreign dependency problem. And what's amazing is we have a blessing right here under our feet. In fact, U.S. energy independence right under our feet. This is an article. The Americans are finally waking up to the damage that 4 decades of governmental moratoriums and restrictions on energy development have done to our economy and to our lives. Listen to this. According to the Bureau of Land Management, there are 38 billion barrels of oil under American soil. 38 billion. We use 1 million barrels a day. There are 38 billion barrels under our feet. 19 billion is onshore, and another 19 billion offshore. That Congress forbids developing. But that's just the beginning of the known American oil reserves. Listen to this. The RAND Institute reports that the Green River Shale Formation, covering portions of Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming, holds a proven recoverable reserve of roughly 800 billion barrels of oil, three times the petroleum reserve in Saudi Arabia. We have three OPECs right here of known recoverable reserves. We don't have an oil shortage in the United States. We have an attitude shortage. We have a blessing right under our feet, and the same thing in the church. We don't have an oil problem or a power problem in the church. We have a foreign dependency problem in the church. We are dependent on people overseas. It's not that we're sending $700 billion over to OPEC and to foreign nations, and they're getting blessed, and you've got Ishmael, and you've got Esau taking the blessing right back from Jacob. The problem is that we have the blessing right under our feet. We have blessings that God has given us. We just refuse to do it. We are dependent on the foreign oil. And if they make a decision to do something, we're cut right off. And yet, right under our own feet, God has placed the blessing. And it's the same thing. The church has become foreign dependent in our riches. It seems that the church somehow has reached out and we've decided that we're not going to use what God has given us and we're going to go get answers, and we are foreign dependent in the church. Our kids are foreign dependent. Our kids have not decided to tap into what God has already given us in this world. They'll go out and get clothes styles, language styles, attitude styles, sexual styles, just like the world. We are foreign dependent. We are drilling from Ishmael in our kids' lives instead of going to God. Amen. Are you with me? In the church, we have marriages in the church that are foreign dependent. We look for the foreign solutions when God has said, I want you to build your rig and tap right into the riches and the resources that I have right underneath your feet. In fact, right now, underneath your feet in this place a year and a half ago, before we put carpet in here, we sat down with markers. We had Sharpies all around here. Some of you remember that. And we wrote down scriptures and promises and prayer requests. And all underneath your feet, right underneath your feet, there are promises of God that you walked in on. You are standing on the promises of God right now. And God's been answering those prayers. Amen? We need to say, we need to tap down into the rich, build your oil rig and drill straight down, because we have been foreign dependent way too long. Why has the church depended on doing, we plant churches, we start churches, we try to pretend we're just like the world. We apologize for using Christian words. We're sorry for having to sing out loud about Jesus. We apologize. We say, well, we don't want to offend anybody. And I say, you know what? Tap deep, tap down, and tap often into the well God's given you. I got to tell you, first service was a lot more excited than that about that. They weren't even awake. I had a dear lady, first time in service, she sat right over here, Jim, where you're at, 86. She'll be 87 real soon. And she had her tambourine going. I just met her this morning. She said, I'll be back. I just found you guys. I was out here for a food truck the other day, and I found you guys. I said, yes, you did, and welcome. We have become so foreign dependent that it's interesting that when the foreign dependency dries up, our lives and our blessings seem to be gone. I lost my job. I didn't drill into the world's work. And so that's not my blessing. Well, what about my marriage? I didn't drill into the world's philosophy. Dr. Phil doesn't have a hold on my marriage. Oprah Winfrey doesn't have the advice for my children. The Word of God is the oil reserve that I want. I'm drilling deep. I'm not saying they don't have advice, but why are we so foreign to God dependent when God has given us a reserve that's got over 800 billion blessings right underneath of our feet?
Well, I just don't have anything. I just don't have anything. Pastor, we can use something.
As I walked through the door with some groceries, and I said, I got some groceries. Oh, just a minute, as I get off my cell phone. Kids, turn down the TV. 150-something channels on a plasma. Folks, we got 800 billion blessings. Somebody can absolutely get on a raft in Cuba, float their way to our country, and within 10 years own a chain of gas stations. We are on 800 billions of blessings. We have just tapped into foreign oil. And let Ishmael go and grab a hold of Jacob. Because God has a promise. And He says, tap in. And so we find Elijah. And Elijah says this, we got a foreign problem. It's foreign to God. And God says, I want to do something in your life. And this morning, I believe God wants us to tap in to His well. And so we're going to talk about, at the fill-in station today, every one of you, Psst, I got a secret. There's gold in them there hills. I was out shooting up some crude, and up from the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is. Black gold. Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, a millionaire. Welcome, children of God, to the kingdom of heaven, where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is your dad. And he owns it all. Why in the world are you borrowing and tapping into foreign dependency on the world? Young people, why in the world would you allow your parents to tap into things? When you get advice, it's the Word of God. Make sure your folks are giving you the Word of God. Tap into the oil rig. Adults, why in the world are you letting your kids tap into the world's foreign things to God? Let them tap in to the things of God, and you better build your rig and dig deep down, because it's rich in God's soil. And you might even find 30, 60, and 100 barrel fold in God's reserves. God wants us to drill this morning. So drill, baby, drill. It's time to drill. We need to track it. We need to tap it. And we need to trade it. We need to track. Where's this stuff at? Where am I going to find the oil rig of God in my life? Where are you going to find the blessing of God? Where are you going to find the reserve of God and build that rig? Well, Elijah tells us in your story in 1 Samuel 17, you're going to get some rich stuff today. And I'm talking about Texas tea. Here's where you're going to get it. God says to Elijah in chapter 17, the great prophet, the man of God. By the way, there was a drought going on, if you didn't know, and Elijah's at fault because he said, God, dry it up. And God dried it up for 3.5 years. But he says, I'm going to take care of you, Elijah. And he gave him this place at this brook, the brook of Kerith. And he put him there and he says, oh, just drink. Well, guess what? That dried up too. He says, I want you to go from here, and I want you to go to this place called Zarephath. He said, Zara what? He said, I want you to go to Zarephath. He's thinking to himself, you want me to go where? Let me tell you, you got to track God. Because some of you are asking the question, God, what do you want to do in my life? And look at what the Bible says in chapter 17. If you're going to track God's oil rig, it says in verse 7, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain. That makes sense. If it doesn't rain, there's no brook. Then, what does it say? The word of the Lord came to him. There it is. You want to track God? You can track God. He can show you where His blessings are. You can track the Word of God right here. You need to track Him. And it says, he went to Zarephath. He traveled 100 miles without food or water. You think he got over there at the end of that thing and he said, oh, God must have something good for me. The brook dried up. He's been taking care of me in the middle of this drought for about a year and a half of the 3.5 years. About a year and a half, that brook dried up. He says, whew, I don't know about you with your jobs. Have you thought about that, your job in a year and a half, 3 years, 3.5 years, 3 months? I don't know when it dries up. But God says, I want you to go to Zarephath. And you're thinking, God must have something good for me at Zarephath. He got over there and he says, okay, here's the widow. Hey, lady, I'm here. I'm the prophet Elijah, and I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty. 100 miles in a desert. And the woman looked at him, and she's got her sticks in her hand. She looks at him and says, you got to be nuts. What are you on? I've got nothing. In fact, I'm gathering up sticks so I can go cook my funeral dinner for me and my kid. Could you see Elijah? Hey, God, you were supposed to move me from this blessing to this blessing. And you took me, I can handle 100 miles of a desert, but you have got to be kidding me. Where's the rich widow, not the poor, dying widow? In other words, he was at the brook of Kerith. In the Hebrew, the word Kerith means drought. In the Hebrew, God took him to Zarephath. In the Hebrew, Zarephath means smolting furnace. God took him out of the frying pan and threw him right into the... You bet he did. And some of you probably felt that way. God, I'm tracking you. I'm looking to build that oil rig. And you look down, you go, it's not looking so good. And I want you to know, sometimes you go out of the frying pan and into the fire, but it's right in the fire where God wants to do His miracle in your life. That way, when you look at it and someone says, how did you do that with your job or your economics or your family or your wife or your kids? And you look back and you said, well, I just simply did that because I'm a good worker. I did that because I'm a smart man. I did that because I tried harder. And God says, no, I'm going to take you out of the frying pan. I'm going to put you in the fire. Now get credit for it. And you go, God, I got nothing. And God goes, now that you have nothing, when people ask you the question, how did you do it? And you said, I didn't. He did. That's the oil rig we need in our lives. When people see you, they ought to see God. But so many times, we buy into the foreign oil. Look at me. I have self-actualized. I have become my own person. I have read my 12-step program, and look at what I have done. Look at what these hands have done. And God says, stop taking credit for yourself. And you know what? Start tracking the blessing of God. And that might take you through a desert and you go, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. And you get to the end and you go, oh, Pastor, oh, it's so good to see you. I knew you were coming. And I said, I haven't got anything either. What have you got? And you go, I haven't got anything either. We're standing there going, we haven't got anything. And we look at God and go, hey, did you get this right? Right address? You bet. Because when you're tracking God and you're trusting the Word of God, He's going to take you exactly to the blessing of God. That's what He wants to do in our lives. We need to track Him. You know, it's interesting because when God called me to start a church, it was the last thing I said I would do. I was at the Brook of Cherith. My ministry had dried up. I was done. And God said, hey, let's pray about this. At least where I was, things had dried up. 9 years, it was great. It was wonderful. I had that spring of God. And I said, God, what am I going to do? He says, I got something for you. So I interviewed down in Florida, talked to this guy, still talked to him. In fact, I got an email from him the other day. Great guy in his church. Huge church. Right on the beach, a half hour north of Fort Lauderdale. I said, oh, Lord, I can hear you now. Florida. Oh, yeah. Florida. We went the other way. I stayed and you came here. What was that? I had a church in Chicago said, hey, we'd love to have you over here. We run about 4,000. We have 13 youth pastors. Would you be the head of it all? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm there. God, what a blessing. Six figures as a youth pastor. I have arrived at the land of milk and honey. And as I'm praying, the word of the Lord came and said, start a church. Oh, where? Right here. I said, not in a million years. I was ready to move on. I had great interviews. I got jobs waiting. Here. Okay, Lord, I got a mortgage. Okay, Lord, I got five kids. Okay, Lord, I got bills. You with me? But see, I don't depend on foreign oil in my life. I don't depend on how the world looks at things. I look at things the way God looks at things. He says, drill here and drill here. Now, and I said, okay, God, you got it. I'm tracking your blessing. And He took us through that 3 months. And then we started our first Bible study in my house with six couples. I said, oh, boy, let's take an offering. What are we going to do? let's meet somewhere else. We found a bar. And we went to a bar. And every Saturday night, we mopped up the beer. And every Sunday morning, we worshiped. And now here we are today, 2 years later. Why? Because God took me out of the frying pan and into the fire because God said, trust me, follow me. No wonder why He says there's oil there. There's oil there. I remember coming out here, my wife and I, and we walked through here and we prayed on that February a year and a half ago. And I remember praying about it because one of our board members said, you got to go check this place out. And I came out here, it was cold, it was snowing. And that's when I was ready for springtime, not for snow. And I said, Lord, this is not the place. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. This is Zarephath. And God says, this is the place. I said, okay, if this is the place, then this is the place. And it has been the place. And there's been oil flowing in this place. The children last year, with a lot of adults at Triple H, raised $9,000. Last January, how many? Seven? 7,000. It's nine this year. Last January, we needed some money for the youth group. And this horrible economy, we raised in two nights $15,000 for our youth group. The last couple of years, just in our community, we decided to set aside benevolence and give money away. And we've done separate fundraisers and other benevolent things. We've given away $50,000. There's oil, and then there's oil out at that mall. I don't care if it looks like dead dinosaur ribs right next door in that giant whatever that is. Where there's dinosaurs, there's oil. So we came out here and God is blessed. You should have seen the first service. There was a ton of people in here at 9 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because they're here to tap in to God. You got to find it and you got to track it. Then you got to tap it. In the tracking, no wonder why the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He anoints my head with oil. There's oil in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over, and he prepares a table before me in the presence of my... Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There's oil in the desert. There's oil in Zarephath, and there's a widow there. We need to trust God. We need to track it. We need to tap into it. Are you ready to tap into God's oil? Are you ready to tap into God's worth? Are you ready to tap into God's blessing? Okay, what's in your oil jar? If we're going to tap into it, here it is. He says, look at what he says. He called to her and he said, would you bring me a little bit of water? That's what your Bible says. Isn't that great? Could you see this woman out there gathering up her sticks thinking, this is it. It's been a year and a half of drought. I got sticks. Some people say she was taking the sticks over to make a fire. I had never read that before. I always thought she was taking the sticks to eat them. What is she going to cook? Me and my son are going to die. I think she was going to take the flour and the oil and mix it right up with the bark and crush those roots and eat it. And she goes over and she's standing there and a guy, here comes the prophet. Here comes the pastor. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. Hey, I'm taking an offering. Isn't that just like the pastor in the middle of a drought to take an offering? We just took one too. We're going to take another one. Not today, next week. And she's standing there and she turns. She says, what can I do for you? He says, hey, could you give me a drink of water? And while you're at it, I'd like some bread. She looks and she says, as surely as God lives. In other words, you have got to be kidding me. She looks at this guy and she says, what are you? You want to get blood out of a turnip? You pastors, you prophets are all the same. Money, money, money. No, I want money. Bake me a cake as fast as you can. Roll it up and throw it in my hand. I'm hungry. She looks at him and she's like, fine. When you tap into God's source, it may not make any sense to you. He says, what have you got? And she says, I got a handful of flour and I got a little bit of oil. She looks in that jar and she looks at him and she goes, fine, I'll go home and make this. I love what he says. Because the first one says, if you're going to track it, the word of the Lord, this is tap it. And he says to her, don't be afraid. Go do what you said, but first make me something to eat. Look what he says. Hey, don't be afraid. Look, go ahead. You and your boy go and die. But make me something to eat before you die. Of all the gall, of all the arrogance, of all the things. Do you not know my car's broke down? Have you seen my checkbook? You're asking for what? I'd like something to eat. I'm going to take an offering. I'd like you to bring everything you have. You have got to be kidding me, preacher. You know why? Because if you're going to tap into God, you're also going to trust that God is going to tap right back. It's amazing. It's amazing that in the middle of this, one preacher said this. He said, God blesses. He says, don't fear, don't fear, don't be afraid. But one preacher said this, God blesses us in all the misery around us. He provides an oasis in the middle of our lives. With all the misery going on, God makes an oasis. Listen to this. Every day she came to a barrel empty-handed, but she went away full supplied. It multiplied in spending, not in hoarding. Every day Elijah and that widow stuck their head in that flour barrel and saw God's perpetual motion. Every meal they sang the doxology. That barrel was like a fruitful Kansas wheat field, and that flask might as well have been a Texas oil rig. Are you ready to tap in? It doesn't make any sense to tap in. No wonder why the Bible says in Proverbs, it says Proverbs 11:24, there is one who scatters yet increases more. There is one who hoards more than what is right, but it leads to poverty. He says, start dumping out your oil rig. Start letting that thing go. Let that thing go. Let that thing go. And she's looking at him going, you've got to be kidding. Maybe in her mind she just said, you know what? It just doesn't matter anymore. Sometimes we get that way. It just doesn't matter anymore. I've maxed out my credit cards. What's another one? It doesn't matter anymore. Well, he's not talking about somebody else's debt. Don't max up some debt that's not yours. He says, give what's yours. You know, we live in the richest country in the world. This is a great country. I was reading online to find out, say, some people say, I don't have anything, Pastor. Well, if you go to the 1040 window, the 1040 window is 10 degrees north of the equator and 40 degrees south of the equator. That's the 1040 window. 80% of the world lives there. And 80% of the world lives on $1 a day. Well, I don't have anything, Pastor. $1 a day. Pastor, I don't have anything to eat. I got home last night from eating a lot of good chili and salsa. It was some good stuff. And folks, I got home and I wanted to have a snack. I opened up my fridge. I said, I wonder what I'm going to snack on. I looked at the stuff on that shelf, that shelf, that shelf, that shelf, that shelf. I closed that and opened up the freezer. I looked in the freezer. I thought, what do I want to thaw? I don't want to thaw anything. I went to the food pantry. I said, well, there's some chips and there's some more salsa. I'll just have some chips. Maybe I want some cracker and cheese. Maybe I'll just go to the store and buy something. You know, for an economy that's so bad, folks, God has put 8 billion blessings below us. We just keep borrowing from foreign oil. And so our credit's gone and our spending's out of control, but we got blessings. We got homes. Everybody ought to have a house. Well, look what that did for us. And I don't know about this economy and the gas shortage, because honestly, I was driving down my road, Pine Grove Avenue. I say my road. That's how I get home. I can't believe all these people. I had to stop and wait 3 times to get through one traffic light. There was so much traffic yesterday. I thought, well, there's a big oil shortage. Everybody go home. Apparently, we might be blessed. And the restaurants, they may not be packed, but they're full. You know why? Because we are so rich. We are so blessed. And if we tap into what God... This woman looked at her pot and she says, this is all I got. She dumped out her pot. And we got a choice this morning. We're going to be oil misers or we're going to be oil geysers. You got a choice of whether you're going to miser it and cap that rig. You know, we got oil rigs in Texas, North Dakota, South Dakota, and the UP that are capped with oil in them. That is just crazy to me. People need oil. That's just like saying, I got food, and there are people who are hungry down the street. That's like saying, there are people who need some help here, and I got a house. There's someone that's homeless, and yet I got 5 bedrooms in my house. We are so rich. I got a choice this morning. We have 2 choices when we walk out this door. I'm going to be an oil miser or I'm going to be an oil geyser. And all I know about oil geysers, when they go off, look out, folks. You better back up. Because when that thing goes off, there's going to be oil everywhere. And good luck trying to cap that thing, because it just explodes. And I think God wants to do that in our lives. I pray that God gives us a Zarephath right in the middle of this St. Clair County, that God would bless your life in such a way that your life will be an absolute oil geyser going off, and people gather around going, look, we found a geyser. We found it. We hit oil. Because we've gone deep with God, and God has gone up with us. An oil geyser. You try to cap one of those things, Malachi speaks about oil geysers, doesn't he? The prophet said this. And I didn't say these words, but I'm going to just say them to you. God says, you've robbed me. You become an oil miser. And the prophet says, God, how have I robbed you? And God says, in your tithes and your offerings. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. And test me, the only place in the Bible that God uses this word, test me in this. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you that you can't even contain it. That's an oil geyser. You get the blessings of God, you go over to that thing and try to cap it off, you better just stand back, because God's blessings, he says, I will bless you and it'll pour out. Now, I'm not talking about health, wealth, and prosperity here, but I believe God says, I will bless you, and in the middle of Zarephath, in Baal's backyard, in Jezebel's home country. God blesses Elijah in Baal's backyard. And if God can bless him in the desert, he can bless you in Port Huron in St. Clair. God can do things in your life. The problem is we're so dependent on foreign, and for some of you, this is foreign. Are you telling me I should pour out my reserves with God? I'm telling you, you need to tap into the right oil well is what I'm telling you. Some of you are tapping into the wrong stuff, and you're wondering why you're not getting any oil. And God says, I got 800 billion barrels. How much does God have? My Bible tells me he has all the riches of heaven. He has the cattle on 1,000 hills. God can change something just like that. As surely as this economy can fall apart tomorrow, our God can raise it up right now in 1 minute. You know, we're easy to say. If I said, you think this world's going to fall apart? Oh, you betcha, Pastor. Oh, look at the Dow. I mean, it's just up and down and around. And you got the Saudi and you got the Russians. Oh, North Korea. And oh, if Ahmadinejad and Iran gets nukes, oh, everything's falling apart. Nobody has questions about that. Turn on your news and they'll prophesy Zarephath to you. But who is prophesying Jacob to you? Who is telling you that your God is the King of Kings? Who's telling you that at the word of His mouth, the heavens were created? Who is telling you that He raises the dead? Who is telling you the blessing of God? He can change your situation just like that. Nobody. And Malachi says, pour it in. And Elijah says, pour it in. And the lady goes, okay, because we got to tap into the things of God. We need to tap into the things of God. I want to be an oil geyser because you cannot and you will never, ever. If you want to write anything down this morning, here it is. You will never outgive God. And I dare you to try. I double dare you. I double dog dare you. People listen online. I double dog dare you to give something. Well, I'm going to give him this. Good, give it to him. Because I guarantee you, God is going to take you out of the frying pan and put you into the fire, but He is going to put an oasis into your life, and He's going to bake a cake, and you are going to throw a party. Because that's exactly what He did. Could you see this woman? Because she goes in, she makes it. He says, now go ahead and do it. Go die. Now remember what He said. Don't be afraid. You know what we do? Here's all my money. We're afraid to give our money. I guess I never knew it was mine to begin with. I'm afraid of what I do with my house or my car. Folks, it's not mine. It's God's. I can let go of God's a whole lot easier. When I got into an accident, I told him, I'm going, this lady cut me off. I'm not going to say women drivers, but because there weren't more than one. It was a woman driver. I had a cast on my leg. Just had gotten it, just leaving orthopedics. This lady cut me off. I hit a tree in my new van. Actually, my wife's. We had just gotten it. And I hit this tree. I missed a fire hydrant by about an inch as I went airborne over the curb. And I hit that, and as I got out, it was great. This ambulance was going by, and he stopped, and he kind of got out. You okay? And I got out with a cast. I said, you guys are fast. I already had a cast on, brand new. Want to sign it? He said, what happened? I said, that lady was coming down the wrong lane. She was coming down my lane. I had nowhere to go but that tree. And I got out. I looked at the van. I went, man. And I said it. I said it because I've learned it over the years. I said, God, look what that lady did to your van. Man, lady, are you in trouble? It's not mine. It is not mine. God, look at your checkbook. God, look at your kids. God, look at your marriage. It's not mine. It's His. And I'm tapped in. And I'm trusting Him. And I want a geyser. So you know what I want to do? I want to trade. I'm going to trade God straight up. My oil rig for His. My foreign dependency into holy dependency. And it said that this poor lady, there she is, and her son dies. And I close it. Her son died. That's not fair. Year and a half of a drought, Elijah shows up, and for 2 years, she's pouring this thing out. She keeps going back, going, look at this oil, and she's pouring it out. Look at this oil, oil, oil. She goes to her flower jar. I could just see her throwing it up in the air. Could you see her living room? Could you see the house? I mean, powder everywhere. Woo-hoo-hoo! I don't know about you, but if that thing ain't running out, I'm having a good time with it. I'm baking everything I can bake. We're making, they're eating, they're enjoying. But you know what? A year and a half of a drought, that young man must have developed some illnesses. Because it says 2 years later, after eating the good stuff of God, he developed, as it says, he stopped breathing one day. And Elijah said, God, you can't do this. You can't do this. You're supposed to be blessing. We can't be doing this in the blood. And the woman says, what have I done? What have I done? Look, I knew God was out to get me. And Elijah takes the boy and says, give me your son. Give me your son. Give me your son. I say to you this morning, trade your oil. Trade your emptiness, your empty jar, and get the fullness of God. Give me your son. And I say to you this morning, take your dirty oil. Say, give me your son, and he'll give you clean. God, give me your son. Here's my dead son. Give me your son. And he says, I'll trade you your death for mine. You want to trade some oil? Jesus says, I'll trade you. Let's trade. Even trade. God, my rig that has nothing. There hasn't been a drop in this thing for months. And God says, I'll trade you. I'll fill you up. You want to trade? God will trade you. And it was upon a cross that God traded us. Why are we so dependent on foreign oil? Why are we so foreign to the idea that God wants to trade and say, how much? And God says, everything. You say, everything? Everything. How much are you willing to give God part of it? It's like the man in the desert, the legend, when he walked along 100 miles in the desert, and he walked along, and he was... You ever been out where your face is burned and parched? I had that happen a couple weeks ago. They burned my face to get rid of some pre-cancer stuff. Praise God, they did. My face just absolutely scabbed and scarred and pussed where they put this chemical on it. If you've ever been in the desert for a long time, you can understand, or dry and parched. And this man was done. He came to the end of his rope and he looked and he thought he saw an oasis. It was probably a mirage, but he made his way to it. And the legend says he just leaned against the building to die. He had shade. At least he would die in shade. He looked and there was a little spigot coming up out of the ground. And he went over to there and he couldn't believe it. And he started pumping this thing. Was this a mirage? And he pumped and nothing came out. Some of you know the story. He looked down. There was an old piece of wood in the sand. He brushed it off, and he pulled it up. And underneath was a jug, and he lifted up, pulled the cork, and there was water. A little jug of water. And he got ready to drink, and he read the sign. The sign said, use this water to prime the pump. Use all of it. Fill the jug back up for the next passerby. The man stood there, and he thought, can I trust this sign? Who wrote this thing anyway? How old is this sign? Put it all in. So he thought, I'll just put some of it in. So he dumped some in and he pumped, nothing happened. He used half of it, he pumped, and nothing happened. He thought, I've got nothing left to lose. This isn't enough to certainly get me through. And so he dumped it all in. He started pumping, and he kept pumping. And pretty soon he heard the gurgle and the air pressure. The air came out, and then he a drip, a stream, a gush from deep down in that earth, an aqueduct of fresh, clean water in the middle of this desert. And he got under there, and he basked in that water, and he drank that water in. He refreshed himself for hour upon hour. And when he was done, he took that jug, and with his excitement, he filled it up, and he corked it, and he put it back in that place in the sand, and he put that sign over and grabbed a rock. And he etched in that thing as hard as he could. It really works. God says, no foreign oils. Dig with me. But you're going to have to, if you want to own this rig, you've got to pour it all in. Some of us are kind of in. Some of us are new to this thing and we're not in at all. But we've got to be all in. Have you let it all go? Tap in and trade them straight up. It's a good trade, by the way. It's a very good trade. I'm going to ask my ushers to come forward. I want to think about...